After a moment, Ryan became aware of the wind sighing through the grass and down the pass. A meadowlark sang. Somewhere a mourning dove called out his territory with soft hoots. Birds didn't have a care for humans in their spats, never had. Except for vultures and crows. Glancing up, Ryan saw there were already two of the former on hand, black crucifixes wheeling against the sky. Ryan came out of his briefly suspended state. Things were about to start happening in bunches. He leaned into the wag, grabbed out his stire and a pack with rats, extra mags, and some Gren stuffed into it.
JB, take the wheel.
Right.
Take the wag up along that hogsback on the left. Bastards will be all along it. You'll take them and enfilade. Burn them out, then pour into the flanks of the rest when they come down the road at us. I'll send 5X and the other scooter scouts along.
JB laid aside his BAR and scrambled into the front seat.
You?
I'll run the reception committee down here.
Right.
Ryan quickly explained what he wanted to 5X with words and gestures.
Pinche Otto!
Ricardo had caught his breath enough to commence weeping and wailing. He abruptly broke away and went running right at Ryan, arms pinwheeling. Ryan, holding his stire in both hands, waited him out, timed him. When the burly berserk man got in range, Ryan wheeled the butt of his stire up and around and laid it against the side of his head. He did it as gently as possible under the circumstances, which wasn't very, more pushing with the wooden stock like a paddle than swinging free. It was done as much to preserve the alignment of the optics as to save the bearded scabby's life. Ricardo went sprawling, clutching at the dust. Ryan looked around, caught the eye of a scabby he knew spoke English.
Get him squared away. If he tries for me again, I'll chill him now. The rest of you, get off the road, spread out in a line facing up the road, find yourself some decent cover, and get ready to rumble.
They stared at him for a moment. He was acutely aware of being a stranger among them. He had been reluctant to make use of his supposed authority. Now he saw no choice. The man he told to see to Ricardo looked up from where he knelt beside him. Miguel, Ryan thought his name to be.
This isn't where we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to meet Hector first.
This is war, friend. You fight where it finds you, not where you planned.
Time was getting short. The Chichimecs were probably on the move already under cover, knowing their ambush was spoiled.
Time's blood. Your move.
Okay, Chula. Vámonos!
They broke up, disappearing into the scrub on both sides of the road. Miguel dragged the dazed Ricardo out of sight. In a moment, Ryan was alone except for the two wags. He gestured them to come up, then pull off to either side of the road to lay down a serious fire base. It would be better tactics, he knew, to wing them out to either end of the firing line, lay down interlocked fields of fire, but he knew what was coming. He was afraid of the Chichimecs creepy crawling up through the brush and dead ground and taking them out with grens or pipe bombs or a plain old body swarm. Better to let the ground pounders buffer the wags. They couldn't afford to lose the heavy weps, especially this early in the game. And now from the pass ahead came the first evidence that an attack was coming. A spatter of shots was thrown at the scabbies as they dispersed and went to ground. Big puffs of white smoke thrown out by black powder blasters rolled up into the sky. Without rushing it, Ryan moved to a grassy mound crowned by some kind of bush. He took up position behind the low mound, got the Stire's bipod steel butt plate into his shoulder, his cheek welded to the stock, his eye up to the telescope. He had expected a certain amount of anger when the gringos took it upon themselves to chop pretty, popular Claudia to worm bait along with her attackers. But though vill dwellers, and for the most part no warriors, the scabbies were anything but sheltered. They well understood that sometimes the best gift one friend could give another was a quick death. Ryan laid his crosshairs on the road. A party of Chichimecs had appeared halfway along the pass, trotting in the open with a tireless coyote gait, carrying the usual random assortment of bloodletting implements. Laziness and bloodlust were getting the better of judgment. He grinned and aimed at the chest of a big guy with impressive steer-like horns and a military-style bolt-long blaster, a Springfield or a Mauser. Before Ryan could drop the hammer, the two machine guns from the scabby supply wag spoke. Ryan shifted his aim to a norm-looking guy with an M16, shagging his mostly bare ass into the brush, led him, and fired. The Stire's barrel rose irresistibly as he threw the bolt by long-ingrained reflex. When it came back down, there was nothing but weeds in the grass. Deep down in his belly, he felt a flash of self-disgust. He'd never know for sure, but he had a marksman's sense he'd missed the bastard cold. More black powder blaster smoke suddenly blossomed from the ridgeline to their left. Then he heard the unmistakable snarl of a machine gun. His blood froze. What if they had an MG of their own up there? They'd smoke his wag sure as nuke shit. Unable to elevate the rifle properly from a prone position, he rolled into a seated posture, cinching his left arm up in the shooting sling, aimed the rifle at the crest in hopes he could spot the Raiders' bullet sprayer if they had one. He needn't have worried. The Hummer and the half-dozen motorcycle scouts trailing prudently behind its comforting mass and still more comforting M60 had reached the heights of the crest line. They found several dozen Chichimecs armed with long blasters strung out along the ridgetop in a line away from them. Since the ambushers had set up to sweep the column down on the road with fire, they had made no effort to conceal themselves from the sides. JB stopped the wag and bailed out with his BAR as Jack poured blazing death right along the Chichimec rifle line. More concerned himself with letting potential targets escape than his own safety, the armorer just stood flat-footed by the open door, shouldered the heavy automatic rifle, and began splashing muties and human raiders with well-placed sprays of .30-06. To either side of him, Five-Ax and the other riders just stopped their bikes and shouldered long blasters and back from the saddle. The raiders went over like bottles being shot off a bloody house bar.
These Chichimecs sure are some hardcore bastards.
Some of them actually turned and shot back. One of the scooter scouts slumped abruptly, drilled clean through the heart by a .30-30. As he and his light bike toppled into the grass, his comrades chopped down the human who had chilled him and everybody else in sight.
To hell with this!
JB tossed his Browning into the back seat of the Hummer with blue smoke still trailing from its muzzle, jumped back behind the wheel, and put the hammer down. The wag's nuke-powered electric engine shifted its mass into motion. He took the wag bucketing along back of the ridgeline with Jack hosing down anything that moved, or looked as if it might as they passed. To the left, a wide brown guy popped out of a bush, raising a blaster made of pipe, wired and taped to a rude wooden stock.
Here, catch!
JB tossed him a pineapple-style M26 Gren, from which he thoughtfully pulled the pin. The spoon went spinning away. Reflex took over, and amazingly enough, the mutie did catch it, dropping his improvised blaster to field the Gren two-handed. He was staring down at the fizzing bomb, cradled in both hands, when JB swept by.
Dumbass!
A quick glance through the scope told Ryan the machine gun belonged to the good guys. A bullet from his own front thunked into his protecting mound as he flopped down behind it once again. He got the piece braced again and began to sweep the pass for targets. The scope suddenly went dark.
What?
There was one right answer, and Ryan gave it. He squeezed the trigger on the spot. His SSG roared and bucked. The Chichimec, who had jumped up right in front of its muzzle, raising an axe with a yellow synthetic haft, two-handed to split Ryan's skull, instead screamed as the heavy boat-tailed bullet punched through his pelvis. He fell onto his face across the gun, dropping the axe. Ryan was already out from behind the Steyr, rolling hard to the left, pulling out his Sig Sauer. He got the weapon free as a Chichimec came leaping over a bush at him, jabbing with a spear. Lying on his back, Ryan pumped two slugs through his attacker's belly. The man went down right next to him. Ryan put the muzzle up by the raider's ear and quick bored a hole through his head. He came up on one knee. To the left and right of him, shots were cracking. Screams were ripped from sundered bodies. Men struggled and cursed and smelled the breath and body reek of the man they were going to kill or who would kill them. The Chichimecs had played it cagey. They had run up against rapid-firing blasters often enough to know that a balls-out charge across a couple hundred yards against a firing line waiting under cover would result in their getting chilled without ever getting in spearcast range of their enemies. The few who had forgotten that lesson and tried trotting down the road had quickly been served up, steaming and stinking of ruptured guts as an object lesson to their brothers. So they had infiltrated undercover, squirming on their bellies with astonishing speed to close with the scabbies and then rush them from close range. The problem was the scabbies, even the pudgy, soft-handed ones who got all cloudy and sniffly reading some poignant scrap of poetry in a moldy, scavenged pre-dark anthology, were accustomed to fighting like tigers one-on-one. The city was a hard place. It would kill you. Not just the careless. It just got you sooner if you were. soon or late, it killed everybody presumptuous enough to invade its waterlogged fastnesses. Everybody on the fighting line had come to terms with that, and so far survived. So most of the Chichimecs got blasted when they sprang. The others managed to leave some marks. The Scabbies lost 3 killed and 5 wounded who were bundled on the wags, excluding Claudia and the Jaguar Knight shot up on the ridge, and also not counting Claudia's squeeze, Ricardo, who marched and fought on, despite a busted jaw. But the Marauders were quickly beaten down, especially once JB, Jack, and the Scooter Scouts began flaying them from their own ambush site up on the Hog's Back. Ryan chilled 2 more with his hand blaster, a human with a break-action shotgun, and a mutie with pebbled gray skin who wasn't holding a weapon at all, but crossed Ryan's sights and so had to die. And it was over, just like that.